Hey everyone, welcome to Podicy episode 43, officially.
Unofficially.
The best podcast on the internet. We're sorry that there has been a bit of a gap between episode 42 and episode 43, but that is obviously for good reason.
Now, you don't need us to tell you that there is so much going on right now, and it's been developing just crazily day by day. So it was A, not a good time for us to focus entirely on Rocket League, it just felt wrong, and B, imperative that we make sure our words are clear and concise when we sort of put them out here on this platform. So we're only now learning that it's not enough to be un-racist. We all need to be actively anti-racist. And in that sense, I think it's fair to say that all of us can improve. As such, we want to say that we stand with the black community and encourage everyone who listens to these podcasts to do the same.
Also, along that point, we are two white guys who will never, ever be discriminated against due to the colour of our skin in the country that we live in. And we recognise that privilege that we have. We'd like to tell everybody to support everyone who is standing up right now for black rights in America and across the world, and we support those people as well. You should all be on the right side of history by doing the right thing, no matter your race, identity, or political leanings. Look into how you can help locally in elections, because change on that small local level ends up changing things on a national level.
So we've looked for a sort of landing pad for where you can take it from here. And the best resource that we found is a website called blacklivesmatters.card.co, which pulls resources of where your money can go to support the Black Lives Matter movement in various ways, such as helping people whose businesses have been affected, as well as offering support for people who need legal fees as well that have been involved. Mm-hmm. And there's also ways there that you can help if you aren't able to help financially, which is equally important. So, to be completely clear, Subpub NHD fully stands with and supports the Black Lives Matter protests, and we hope that this is the start of actual change.
Okay, yeah, so obviously there's a lot going on at the moment. We are obviously using this platform to speak out because it's incredibly important right now. But not only is there everything going on in the world, along with COVID, which seems to have somehow taken a backseat. I have no idea how things keep being usurped for the top spot of 2020.
Aliens next.
Yeah, maybe. But I think now is a good time for a general catch-up. We have obviously had a pretty big gap between episode 42 and 43. Last episode, we spoke to Metsonorus. It was all about Endpoint and the demo meta and all of that. But there's been some Rocket League since, which we will be talking about. We'll be diving into the Johnny Boy's Fusion Tournament, Johnny Boy and Civic. But I'd like to ask you, Cole, how have you been? How have we been, generally?
We said right at the start of when the whole COVID thing happened that there will be periods of struggle. And, like, I think that with regards to, we were trying to stream pretty much every day for about 8 hours in the run-up to the Fusion NA. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to sort of keep our nose to the grindstone as much as possible. I know that I've been sort of saying it's important for me to sort of try and keep my fitness up and stuff like that. And I think that my tether has been somewhat reached. So I've certainly enjoyed, I've enjoyed a small break from the podcast, just it being one less thing to have to do, you know, and it's a different sort of, it's a different mindset that I go into when we're in podcast mode compared to when we're in streaming mode. It's a lot less relaxed. It's more considered in what I say. So it's been nice to sort of step away from that for a few weeks. And it's given me a bit of time to sort of recover. Because I have, you know, started to, I wouldn't say struggle, but just started to slow down, I guess, a little bit. My patience has been breached and I'm more than ready to go back to normal. Not to say that I'll rush into that. Yeah. But it sort of feels like it's starting to wear on me a little bit.
Well, that's a struggle in of itself, bear in mind. Mm-hmm. Like, not struggling to deal with the current situation is what sort of everybody is doing right now. I think,
absolutely.
Yeah, I've had to, for the last, like, I don't know, four, five, six, since I've been able to vote, really, so the last 7 years, I've been keeping an eye on politics and all the news, often as I can, keeping up to date with everything. And it got too much for me, to be honest. I got too overwhelmed with everything, trying to take everything in. And it's the first time in those 7 years that I took a step back. This is about, I don't know, 5 days ago or so, where I took a bit of a step back because I was absorbing everything from the COVID stuff to the mounting Brexit things that are going on to
still,
the protests to it's watching all the videos of all of the police brutality in America that was, it was really getting to me. And I was very inspired by everybody who was doing all of those things and standing up where it needed to be stood up for. But man alive, I felt very burned out from that. So, I ended up muting some like politics channels in my friend's Discord and the Subpar NHD Discord. I ended up not looking at some subreddits that I'd normally browse, so unsubscribing. I ended up looking through, I think, for an hour on one of the days. I just thought, I just need to see something happy. So I went on r/iBleach, which firstly is a horrible name for a subreddit.
It is really nasty, nice. Isn't it?
It's just like loads of cute GIFs. I went on the top of all time. And I was just, there was just tears going down my face. As I was just looking at like a kitten just stumble. And I'm like, please somebody help it.
Oh no.
And yeah, so I think it's not weak right now. I think that needs to be said. It's not weak to, if you need to step back, please do it. Stick with your mental health. Make sure that you're doing well. It's good to be open, good to look at everything that's going on. But if it's taking a toll on you personally, take a step back, evaluate ways that you can educate yourself and your friends and everybody whilst also maintaining your mental health. Because this would be hard enough to deal with if there wasn't the other 15 big things that are going on right now as well. So, yeah, take a step back if you need to, you know. Go and watch some Rocket League. There's a lot of that coming up soon.
I think, just finally, I think now's a really good time for sort of internal reflection. I see this as a chance for everyone to actually to look back and study and read stuff that maybe you said you'd read and then never got round to it. This is the opportunity to do that. As long as Stumpy says, it's not something that, it doesn't have to be 24/7. You don't have to suddenly dedicate your life to studying these things, even if it is actually actively harming your mental health. But when you do feel strong enough to, and when you do feel ready to, make sure you take this opportunity to apply the self-improvement, because there's no better time to do it than now.
But like we were saying, there is a lot of things that we can look forward to coming up. And like I said, we're going to be talking about Fusion, because there has been Rocket League going on. Fusion has happened. Firstly, oh my god,
so good.
There was a $50,000 tournament sponsored entirely by InCivic. Clap for InCivic.
Happily.
Yeah, clappily. And it was absolutely fantastic. So,
clapsulutely.
North America, that occurred, and that was fantastic. Space Station ended up winning it. Honestly, that was about, a week and a bit ago now? And
seems like forever.
It does seem like forever.
It seems like that was 6 months ago that Space Station won that.
Yeah, I know, right? Space Station ended up taking North America as they won the 3v3 and the 2v2 bracket. And they went out first round of the 1v1s. That was really good. But to be honest, should we focus more on the EU because we casted it?
We did indeed, yeah. Thank you to Johnny Boy and InCivic for trusting you and me, as well as you, me, as well as CJ and Shogun, of course, in the 1v1s. But giving Stumpy Goblin and myself the opportunity to cast Rocket League, because it's been a long time since we've casted Rocket League, like properly. You know, we've had small sort of things that we could have done between, I guess, the Gfinity Elite Series and now. And we've had our own events. There's been one or two things that we've sort of touched upon, but actually being able to get our teeth stuck into a full-on event in the way that in such that this one was absolutely massive. And obviously, Johnny Boy took a punt on us, didn't he? So huge gratitude towards him. And I think that, Stumpy, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed the process of improving over this week. Because I think if we look back at our Monday cast and compare it to our Sunday one, there was marked improvement.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we were casting a 3v3 bracket, because Fusion, for anybody who missed it, which, by the way, you are crazy if you did.
Yes,
it's,
why?
It's a 3v3, 2v2, and 1v1 tournament, where teams qualify by playing all of those game modes and then entering themselves into individual brackets for the main event. And then it was all best of sevens throughout, including the grand finals. And you earn points going through. It's a points-based system. Really, really good way of doing it. We were doing the 3v3s. EU was absolutely stacked, right? We had Vitality, Singularity with Scrubkiller on there, Oxygen, Dignitas, Sandrock, Stormtroopers, Solary, and Tree of a Kind. They are some huge teams, and I think we were taking the piss, and people in chat were taking the piss as well, because out of all of those series, so there are 7 in total, it was 1 per evening, only one of them went more than 5 games. It was Dignitas versus Sandrock was the only 7-game series that we casted. Otherwise, everything was a 4-0 or a 4-1. It was ludicrous.
It was. We kept saying that we want something approaching a Game 7. And as you say, we did get it once. So thank you to Dignitas for giving us that beautiful comeback against Sandrock Gaming. But I think that there's more to a good series than just the 4-3 result. You know, all the sort of storyline that gets poured into it. And I think that Vitality sweeping yet another team up until the final, that is a storyline that's worth celebrating. Mm-hmm. Oxygen absolutely dominating Dignitas. You know, arguably looking back, that could be a better storyline than had it been a close 4-3 going into the final game overtime, especially the grand finals. So the grand finals, I expected Oxygen to put up a really good fight, but for Vitality to ultimately win out. Mm-hmm. It ended up pretty much being Oxygen just keeping Vitality at arm's length throughout 5 games. They won it 4-1 and just taking their opportunities when they came. And that is, you know, to me, in hindsight, just as good a story as had it been a super close grand finals. Like, it is fun to have that, you know, next goal wins, but just seeing these teams really adapt to their opponents as they went, especially in the context of the 2s and 1s to follow or that had been before, was a thing of beauty to behold. And that all comes down to the format of Fusion, which, as you mentioned, was so creative, and I loved it, and I'd love to see more 2s and 1s events going forwards.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, before we get to the 2s and 1s, Oxygen, man. Holy shit, dude.
I know.
Having Astral on Oxygen now is such a marked improvement. Fruity, I watched him do a couple of the viewing parties, and there were clips of him. Whenever Astral was mentioned, you just saw him roll his eyes, because it was like, right, well, they're obviously going to mention that he's replaced me. And every time that somebody said, and it's such an improvement for this team, he'd always go, come on, man! Why do you have to put me down? But it is, right? Like, the fact that Astral is one of the best players in the world. In my opinion, the most mechanically talented player in the world. And he's able to change a team from becoming that mid-table team with Fruity on there, to taking down Vitality in a 4-1 and 4-0ing Dignitas and 4-1ing a very strong-looking Stormtroopers. Oxygen are such a fucking scary team now. Pharaoh was on fire. In, like, I think it was the Oxygen series. The Oxygen-Dignitas series.
I was going to say, it was definitely the Oxygen series. Can confirm that, yeah.
Pharaoh scored all but, like, 2 of their
goals. He's got 8 goals. Yeah.
Like,
I'm looking through my notes now. I've been taking notes. I've turned into stacks, mate. Honestly, I've got like a little... Have you seen what I do? You can see. Everyone else can't. But I've got a little grid that has Oxygen on one side, Dignitas on the other. Then it's split game by game.
It looks like the scrawlings of Ted Kaczynski. Are they all of your places where you're going to be mailing pipe bombs?
So what I've got in the first game, I can tell you that Ferrer scored at 1 minute with 1:16 left, with 57 seconds left, and with 43 seconds left.
So can you show me your hieroglyphs again?
As they beat Dignitas 3-2. Yoros scored 150. Panda scored 107. Wait a minute.
Oh, don't fold your pages. Hang on.
I'm not folding my pages. There you go.
I've got a screenshot of that. All right? I'm going to put that in a reply to the tweet. So people can see what you've just shown me as your notepad that looks like the scrawlings of a serial killer.
No, do this one instead. Look how nice this one is.
Okay. All right. That's the second one. I'd like to apologise to Stax for Cole comparing to you. Because
how do you know what you don't know what Stax has looked like?
Stax has gel pens.
Do you reckon? Like smelly ones. Does he do love hearts over the eyes?
Yeah, he's got. He uses grape flavored ones because they're like that's what everybody on the RLCS desk likes most, and so he's like, "Hey, look, I'll leave everybody's favorite smell." Was smelly gel pens just a UK thing? I feel like they might have been. It was literally just gel pens that were like purple and sparkly, and this fucking stunk of artificial like fruits for some reason.
Nice. It was nice. They just the chocolate ones I never liked because it just made me want to eat chocolate because smells are a bit frustrating. Just the smell.
Go on.
You know when you only like walk past a Subway and you can smell it and it's like that smells really nice.
Yeah.
I can't just enjoy the smell. Now I need the food attached to it. So people say, "Oh, smell this candle. It smells just like chocolate brownie." It does. Can I have some brownie? Can I consume some brownie? No. You just get the smell.
But can you not appreciate just the nice smell for the fact that it's a nice smell? Like if there's freshly baked bread, like you say, like the Subway example. I don't know why you didn't say a bakery, but like the Subway example.
Because I'm cheap.
Because you don't have to fucking bakery. Yeah, I think, yeah, like I can sort of understand that, but also just appreciate the fucking smell.
No, I do. But there's just, the smell is just the transition to the taste. You smell it and then you taste it. It's like people sit there and they just have these, you know, candles are my go-to example. If their room constantly smells like, I don't know, jelly babies. It's like, yeah. Christ, do you not just really want some jelly babies? Just constantly. Like, is there not always a desire to eat jelly babies when you're in your bedroom?
Just generally, yeah. But no, the candle doesn't change that. I like nice smelly candles. I like vanilla candles.
Oh, screw vanilla. It's not even a flavour.
You're insane.
Vanilla. I'm not insane. Vanilla is just the baseline. Vanilla is the white paper.
No.
That's the all canvas. It is. It is, exactly.
No. Vanilla is an incredible flavour. It's so nice. It's great. I don't like chocolate ice cream unless it's actual chocolate ice cream. Like, you know, like in a tub of like Neapolitan where you got like, the strawberry, the vanilla, and the chocolate. That chocolate in there is one of the worst flavours because it's like, it tastes, I use the word fake, but like it tastes like it's done like with a powder or like it's chocolate, like memories of chocolate. It's not so like actual chocolate.
So by you tasting that, you get the same sort of frustration that I get when I smell something that I can't then consume.
Not really, because having that doesn't then make me want to eat chocolate. I'm just like, I've had that hit now. I don't like it.
It gives you the memory. It gives you the slightly distorted memory of tastes past.
Memory when squinting into a mirror. It's like, I think exactly. That's what chocolate used to look like, but I don't really know.
Back in the day, before the pandemic, took away all of our chocolate.
Chocolate. Oh, man, what a world. So yeah, we had Oxygen, Takedown, Vitality in the threes. It was fantastic. It was great. And that was the start of Renault Vitality's run through every single bracket on that day. Because in order for Vitality to win, because they got to every single finals, the only way they could lose Fusion was if they lost every single finals. If they won any of them, then they would... Then they would win. They would get more points than Oxygen. Oxygen started off strong by getting the 4-1, but then the 2v2 ended up not going as well. And even though Vitality didn't use K-Dop as their twos, because apparently K-Dop was not feeling very well, which is a big shame, so hopefully he's feeling a bit better. But he wasn't feeling very well, so he didn't end up playing. Instead, it was Fairy Peak and Alpha. And they did. They did pretty well, even though there were four overtimes going on.
Yeah, exactly. It's the sort of game that on any other day, it could have been Oxygen that... I mean, imagine if Oxygen had won that 4-0. And then you got Fairy Peak versus Khalid going into the 1v1s. But, as I said, the storyline was still a thing of beauty. Seeing Vitality win it at the second attempt of asking, according to the raw numbers, dominantly. Mm-hmm. But each game was pretty close. I mean, I watched that series and... You know when you watch your mate... Do you remember when you used to watch Doomsie playing Rocket League?
Yeah.
And like... He'd go for a save, and because I know him, I'd never quite trust that he'd be able to make it, because he's a human, whereas all the other pros were sort of robots that played Rocket League.
Yeah, yeah.
And then most of the time he'd make it, oh god, he is really good, but he's just sort of like, it's like, oh, that's my mate, he's going for it, what if he misses? I sort of felt the same with Oxygen when they playing. I sort of didn't quite trust them against Vitality, just because Vitality was so robotically clean in their play in the 2v2. It seemed like Oxygen were always just trying their best to avoid this onslaught, and most of the time they would, and then eventually Vitality would break through, and it's like, ah yeah, that was always going to happen. So it sort of seemed inevitable that Vitality, at least to my eyes, were going to win each of those two games, because they're so good at 2v2, like impossibly so at times.
It's the fact that it was the same in the 1v1 when they played Stormtroopers in the semi-finals, where they are playing with their non-favored roster and they still won. Like, in the semi-finals of the 1v1s, it was Stormtroopers versus Vitality. So it started off with apparently Jack versus Fairy Peak, who did just an incredible job. Jack ended up reverse sweeping Yoras in the 1v1s in the quarterfinals. And it was such a good game because the first games 1-3, it was Jack versus Fairy Peak. And then they brought in Alpha as the sub to just be like, look, right, we're losing this, we're not doing well. We'll bring in the second player on the team to try and win, and he does. Vitality are just the most well-rounded team, and I know that you've said that that's going to be the catchphrase that's going to catch on for every Rocket League caster out there, because they have proven it in Fusion.
Yeah, I think we'll hear that one quite a lot. But they've earned that.
Yes, yeah.
That tag, I guess, of Vitality. They are a joy to watch, and I saw a tweet from Shogun saying that he hopes that now, if we do have a second dynasty and Vitality are approaching the point at which we can actually use that word. I know that you're very anti the word dynasty, at least using it too early, but they're getting there. They're not there
yet.
I
like the word dynasty when it's used properly. I think it's a brilliant word when it is.
Shogun was saying that if we are approaching a second one, obviously the former Dignitas season 5 is what he's saying was the first one. Let's enjoy it this time.
Yes.
And not want it to come crashing to an end, because the way Vitality play is a joy to behold. The fact that they're so able just to match whatever their opponents throughout them. And I mentioned it in our cast. I would like to see them sometimes a little bit more try and take the initiative, certainly in threes, and try to dominate their opponents from the on the front foot from the beginning. I think they are guilty of trying to reflect whatever their opponents do. If their opponents step up, they'll then step up to join them. I think that is a way in which they can improve. But the ability they have, they always have so much in the reserve, so much left in the tank, even when they do win. It always seems that they're winning at a jog rather than a sprint, which is just due to their brilliance and trust and
the fact that they
rotations.
Can do that and they can still beat teams still when they've not necessarily stood up. Like, they were not perfect in the threes, obviously end up losing. They were not perfect in the twos. But then in the 1v1, where it ended up coming down to game 7 overtime, it was just on the tail of a best of 5 reverse sweep, essentially. It was an absolute wonder to behold. I'm really excited for the next season of the RLCS. I think we are so lucky with what we're going to be seeing come out of it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I always love these tournaments going on, any tournament, because it's just nice. Because people in our Discord, they get in the RL Esports channel and they're talking about, oh, what event's tonight? Oh my God, right, okay, it's Fusion tonight. Yeah. Who do you think is going to win? And we're there sort of, obviously we're casting it, so we're saying, oh, we're so excited to look at Oxygen tonight. And they're saying, yeah, did you see Ferris tweet? We're like, no. It's like, oh yeah, Ferris called Fairy Peak a prick. It's like, did he?
Oh my goodness.
He obviously didn't, because Ferris is the sweetest man ever to have lived. But
that's why it's so special that you called him a prick.
Exactly. But yeah, so looking forward to RLCS Season 10. But there is a hell of a lot of events coming up that Psyonix have announced, all of the community tournaments. And I want everybody, no matter where you are, right now, if you're on a train with a face mask on, if you're in your house, if you're in your garden, if you're listening on your Apple Watch near Norwood, I want you to, or Etobicoke, I want you to sit there and just give them a little...
Another clap, oh my goodness.
Another clap, yeah. Because Psyonix have announced $300,000 worth of community tournaments.
Even better than giving them a clap, go on Twitter, go on the Rocket League Esports subreddit and just praise Psyonix for this decision. I reckon, based on what we've seen here, and also the rumblings that I've seen in Reddit comments from people in the know and all sorts, that this is the start of something beautiful. $300,000 for 10 events, I believe it is. We've got a list of them here. So we've got Codename Covert, presented by Dazarin. The Brawl 10K, so 10K, presented by Lawler. The Eurocup 10K, presented by Lethemir. Salt Mine 2, so more ones, I presume, presented by Johnny Boy. The LATAM Championship, which is Rocket Streets, or is it LATAM? LATAM or LATAM, do you reckon?
I do not know.
I'm sure I'll be shouted whichever way I say it. So I'll go with LATAM. I'll say it long term. The RLO Grand Slam, presented by RLO Oceania. Ah, bugger. The Rollo, yeah. The Rollo Grinflum, presented by Ara Lucianier. The Summer Shuffle, presented by Beyond the Summit. The Summer Grand Prix, presented by Rocket Baguette. The Kickoff, presented by APL Esports, Asian Support. And the Cooker Summer Series, presented by College Carball Association. How awesome is that? That
it's
is
so
everything
good.
We have ever asked for. You know, aside, obviously it's a shame that we don't have the RLCS, but that there is as good a substitution as you could possibly hope for.
I mean, not having the RLCS right now is entirely understandable. It's something that
that's what I mean. Sorry, yeah, that's what I mean.
It's something that they should do. And Psyonix have absolutely knocked out the park. I don't. Mm-hmm. Thing is, this isn't a response to the letter that they were sent, because this would have had to have been in the pipeline for a while. It must be so frustrating to be one of the people at Psyonix when you see people saying that, why is there not support? Why is there not this? Why is there not that? And the amount of things that that incredible esports team is doing, and they're just like, we really want to say what we're working on, but we can't. So I think everyone needs to realise that there's so many hoops that every single company needs to jump through, let alone a company that has a game that is getting as big as Rocket League, and is also E for everyone, so there's so many legal hoops to jump through regardless.
Legal.
Yeah, Psyonix are just being an incredible community force right now. They are standing with so much pride, and I absolutely adore that. To very quickly go back to something that I saw on Twitter the other day to do with the Black Lives Matter movement. Mr. Corey Davis, the co-studio head of development at Psyonix and therefore Rocket League, he ended up tweeting saying that he is donating himself, right, $10,000 to this entire movement, right? And then he said, and he's going to match another $10,000 anyway. So no matter, so if you give in $50, he'll match that $50 and he'll do all of them. He then ended up going to $20,000 in donations and then matched them to then $50,000 in donation from him personally, including a lot of people from Psyonix, including Art, including Devin, including all of those guys. They then were tweeting, matching it as well. Dave, big man Dave, Dave Hagewood, the CEO of Psyonix, matched every single community donation.
Who hates bread.
Who hates bread. Up to $100,000. And this is them personally. Bear in mind, this is not because of Psyonix. This is not because of anything that something happening at the company. This is them standing up for what they believe is right and what they believe is correct. And I was filled with so much pride when I saw that. I was so, so proud to see so many of the team at Psyonix just getting involved, donating to them, and people in the community replying to them and saying, right, I've just chucked in a grand. Rizzo chucked in, like, I think about $650. And, like, he was retweeting saying, guys, make sure that you basically donate to make Corey spend more money on this on this fund. It's amazing. I just wanted to really get that appreciation out there, because I was so pleased and so, I was filled with a lot of happiness just watching that happen. So really good stuff just on that behalf. And obviously then getting into back to the Rocket League side of things, supporting the community with all of these tournaments, and also trusting, like, you've got Dazza and Lawler, Leth, Johnny Boy, who are just individuals who have been given
Lokes.
10K, 40K for some of them, I think, to these tournaments. And you're also trusting all of the community organisations like Rocket Street, RL Oceania, Beyond the Summit, Rocket Baguette, APL, and College Carball Association. You're then trusting them to run a production as well with your money. That reflects back on Rocket League as a brand, and I am over the moon with that decision. Whoever suggested that and whoever was working through it, whether it was a team, whether it was one person, whatever it ended up being, fucking hell. It's everything that we've wanted for a long time, and I am eternally grateful, as is the response that I've seen on Twitter to it.
It's huge. It's just everything that we possibly needed as a community to get us through this time is right there in the announcement that they made that community tournaments are taking over June and July, I think it is. Yeah, June and July. I saw something on our Discord, I think it was yesterday, say, oh, looking forward to Fusion tonight, sad face. Basically making a joke of the fact that we've had so much recently, like even just with Fusion, there were 2 weeks of the actual Fusion, and I believe, I'm using my memory here, which is always dangerous, I believe the qualifiers were the week before that as well.
Correct.
So there's been 3 solid weeks of Rocket League every single evening. I can't believe that that's something that we now have. It's so massive. And I hope that... Because, I mean, obviously, you and I have been critical. The community has been critical. Which is why it's so important that when we do get what we've requested for so long, we just overwhelmingly say, thank you, Psyonix, for being so open about this, playing it so right. Honestly, since the moment that the RLCS LAN was cancelled, I don't think Psyonix have put a foot wrong from what I've seen.
I agree, yeah.
They have done... They've played everything flawlessly. And this is the latest example of that. So it's so important that we praise them for that and make them know that it's not just negatives that we amplify and we talk about. It's also these huge positives. Mm-hmm. It's massive. I can't get this across enough. And also, as you were talking about with Dave and with Corey, that is going above and beyond on a personal level what anybody expected at all. I've just got so much love for them right now.
Yeah,
it makes me so happy. Rocket League, man.
Likewise. What they are, yeah. I mean, yeah. Just incredible work by everybody. I feel really bad that I can't, like, go through and, like, look at every single response from all of the Psyonix guys, but, like, it was...
Mm.
From the top of my head, it was, like, Stephanie as well. She also got involved. I remember Arx, I think, and Arx was replying with nice gifts to people. And just, like, stuff like that. So everybody from Psyonix, everybody who has not yet donated at all, if you are able to help out using that link that we spoke about at the start, which is blacklivesmatters.card.co. If you can help financially, do it. This is the future. This is what we need to step up for. And if you can't help financially, look on that website because it also says what you can do in your local community, what you can do to help out.
Or check Psyonix Dave's Twitter as well, because that way your donation, in theory, if I've got this right, it'll be doubled by Corey and then doubled by Dave. So you'll basically triple your money, I believe.
Quadruple, surely, if that's the logic.
No, because it doesn't. Because Corey doesn't double yours and... Sorry, Dave doesn't double yours and Corey's, I don't think. I think if you chuck in 100 quid, Dave will double that 100 quid to make it 200 quid, and Corey will double that 100 quid to make it 300 quid, I think, is the maths. Basically, they'll amplify it in fantastic ways. So that's another way to go
through some kind of clever algorithm.
Yeah, those coders, man, it's all about the algorithm there, isn't it?
They'll put it in a calculator, probably. So yeah, speaking of the events that are going to be going on, the first one is Eurocup 10K. Qualifier 1 is actually happening in 5.5 hours from the time that we are recording this podcast. So you guys will be... that qualifier would have happened already. And then Qualifier 2 should then be coming up, because that starts in 2 days, 5 hours. That'll be on Thursday. So keep an eye out. Make sure you all support these tournaments as well, because they are run by just the most fantastic people going as well. Lots of love just right now. And it's nice to have that at the moment. So... Good stuff.
Honestly, good stuff, Rocket League has done so much to get me through this. Like, not even from the like professionally. Obviously, I'm a content creator. I stream. I make YouTube videos. Whatever. Right. So it's helped me financially, but as in having shit to do, shit to look forward to, something to discuss, where the vast majority of the world has ground to a standstill. Like, I love football. If I only had football that I watched on a weekly basis, I would have run out of that thing to look forward to at the weekend. For me, Rocket League, and for many people listening to this, I'm sure there's Rocket League plus CSGO plus Call of Duty, whatever you're into as well, but esports in general, have been so massive in just giving me that weekly break, something to look forward to, some sense of normality. Like, oh, he missed that shot. Oh, what an idiot. Do you know what I mean? Like, just the normal back and forth of fandom that would have gone away had it not been for my love of this game. So... yeah, I just wanted to get that across, really, because it's something that... I don't know if I've taken it for granted, but I think looking back, it mattered more to me than perhaps even I realised. The concept of having RLCS, you know, they could have cancelled it. They had every right to, but they found a way, you know? And it has been important. And I hope that for the people listening to this, I'm sure if you are listening to this, then Rocket League Esports and Rocket League is as important to you guys as it is to us. So there's a lot to appreciate at the moment, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So, there was also a load of stuff. We've talked speaking about being content creators before. We have put out another video, which is very nice. I like putting out videos. It's good. And it was called The 10 Commandments of Rocket League. If you guys haven't seen it, go watch that. It's on our YouTube channel right now. And it was really fun to do and to make and to brainstorm about and to look and do it from a slightly different angle, because we're still trying to find the style that we can go forward with and make us a bit different from other channels, and I think we've started to find that a little bit.
So we're not against sort of like the top 10 side of things at all, but I think that when we come to each other with an idea for a top 10 or for something that sort of already exists on YouTube, obviously it's a well-known format, we always try and think, can we tweak this at all to be a bit more unique? And for this one, originally it was 10 things you should never do or whatever. And then we had the idea of tweaking it to making it 10 commandments, just adding that sort of the theme to it. We like a thematic video.
We do like themes.
And on top of all else, that theme gave Stumpy Goblin the chance to do some voice work and me to do sort of voiceover work, which was really good. I love seeing the final product.
It was really good.
Bouncing between yours and my sort of... yours and my specific talents that we have in the world of voice work. Like, you are just a man of so many voices. I've never heard you do this one before as well. It reminds me of that there's an old clip of ours where I sort of do like a bit of a dodgy Scooby-Dooby-Doo impression. Oh, Scooby-Dooby-Doo. Just to say, you know, as a reference to Scooby-Doo. And then you come out with...
Reggie.
And I'm like, what is that? Why have you been sitting on that all this time?
Never done it before, but that's the thing.
If I could do that voice, that'd be my brand. I'd be the guy who does the Scooby-Doo voice. Everyone would know me for it and love me for it. It was just there sitting on that.
But literally had never done it before, though. Before you said that, I had never attempted it.
And in this video, you did sort of the old man Moses voice, which sounded like this.
Oh, I thought you were going to like put in the clip at the start.
No, this is you. This one's me setting you up.
I can't. Thing is,
old man! Is that right? 17 years ago, there was a Rocket League car.
How good is that?
But
it's just so fun to write scripts for your voice work.
Number 249, whatever the fuck I put on Twitter. Because it was very fun. There was one thing. I think the file is still on our Google Drive, where I did four voices where I read every single line in four different voices. And some of them were like, we were sort of deciding what voice should this Moses-esque character have, where he's been spoken to by the gods of Rocket League. She, by the way, we're woke.
Yeah, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no one really picked up on that. I thought there'd be some prick in the comments like, why's Rocket League got a she? It's like, well, they're all cars, so calm down. But there wasn't, which is really nice. There was a few different variations of what voice that should be. Should it be like a big booming voice? Should it be an old man? Whatever. So I think that might be quite funny to post on Twitter of like what it could have been. Because it was the whole thing of like, you know, the movie announcer voice. I did it a full take in that as well. But I think if we stuck to that, it would have just hurt.
would have been too much as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the level that was at was perfect. It wasn't the voice I imagined. I was expecting something more booming. Like echoing, like, no, God said this. I was expecting that.
And he's spoken to us.
Kind of deal.
Right. Yeah, but the one you did was much better. And I just love the video, like bouncing between us.
So fun.
Doomsy editing. Happy days, away we go.
There was one bit when we were making the video, because it was originally going to be a fully rendered proper mountain with like storm clouds, with the car carrying tablets down to like an audience of thousands of cars. And Doomsy said, after he looked into it for about half an hour, he said, hey, I can't do that. I would need to learn how to get on a studio level of Blender. That's not something
that if anyone can, Doomsy can.
Yeah, exactly. So we're like, oh, that's fine. So obviously we did it like the classic style, do it in game, which I really like. It's the machinima style of doing it, as opposed to the fully rendered external scenes, which is fun.
Should we move on, Stumpy, to... There's one final thing that we want to talk about today, which affects our streaming. And perhaps it's less positive than everything we've said, everything else I said before today. But basically, for anyone who doesn't know, it seems every year, Twitch tells all their streamers, you need to stop playing copyright music. Now's the time. Look, we've let you offer it for now, but from this point forwards, don't do it anymore. And maybe one or two streamers will be made an example of, and maybe for a day or two, people will use non-copyright music. And then gradually, every streamer, you and me included, will go back to just playing whatever Eminem you fancy, right? Now it seems that, finally, it is time for us to have to stop playing copyright music. And that breaks my heart a little bit, because I like copyright music.
So, I don't know as much about this as I think you do, but there's been a new rule put in place by DMCA, which is like Digital Millennium Copyright Act or something, or association. And basically, Twitch have had their, I think, arm twisted a little bit in the fact that they've had to do this. But basically, yeah, they've a load of copyright strikes have come in for clips from 2017 for some streamers, where they've then had multiple warnings minutes apart for clips from 2017 that you couldn't possibly anticipate, and their channels are now on the edge of being banned.
It's music from 2017 to 2019 that happened to be in clips. So it's not that the clips are old, it's that the music from them happens to come from a certain point in time.
Oh, I thought those clips were from 2017 to 2019 as opposed to the music. Obviously, the music would have been from then and before, but...
To be fair, the wording could mean... Okay, here's the wording.
Okay.
This is why English is fun. This week, we've had a sudden influx of DMCA takedown requests for clips with background music from 2017 to 2019. Now, you're right. It could be that the clips, brackets with background music, close brackets, from 2017 to 2019, or it could be for clips and then start a new square bracket. No, for clips with, start a new square bracket, background music from 2017 to 2019, close square bracket. It could be either.
Yeah.
You are correct. Anyway, long story short, is that various streamers of various sizes, going all the way from the top to the bottom, are basically being told to delete all of their VODs, and more importantly, all of their clips, because VODs have an automatic muting system, which, while you always will hear copyright music, if it ever gets too loud, if it ever gets to the point where the copyright music is the focus of a stream in the eyes of the copyright law, then Twitch's system will automatically mute it, which is fair, and lets people get away with more than it would. However, that same system does not work with clips, and that means that the only fix for this that a lot of streamers have had is to go through and manually delete clips one by one, because there's no auto-delete button. Yeah. So to add extra cruelty on the side of the actual streamer, they have to sort of do this thing the slow, painful way. It's a slow, painful torture, as opposed to pressing enter once and being done with it.
So the clips that are that do have copyright sound in them now, they do get removed once the stream has ended. But that's only as of the last 5 months or so, where if you're doing a stream, it's not scanning your stream as you're live and sort of realizing that a clip has copyright music in it. It then, as soon as you're offline, it then goes through, scans your entire VOD. Any clips made in certain points that are then muted in the VOD then get removed as clips. It's a massive shame that it's sort of come down to this, but I was speaking to my girlfriend about this last night. I understand it, because end of the day, somebody has made that music that you have paid a non-commercial license for, if you use Spotify, for example, or if you're using the free version of Spotify or whatever, or YouTube or something. You are using somebody else's content without, for a commercial use. I think it does get really tricky, though, because then you get to a point where what is it that defines the personal use and corporate corporate use, and what should the measures be taken out against that? What should they be? Because law has not caught up with Twitch or YouTube. It's still really behind on. There was a really, really good Tom Scott video where he said that YouTube's copyright system is not broken. Everyone says it is. YouTube's copyright system is not broken. And I clicked on that, I was like, oh, Tom Scott, really? It's like 45 minutes long. I'd really recommend watching it. About 45 minutes long. And he says, it's not. The law is. the DMCA stuff, that is what's broken. YouTube have to stick to that. Mm-hmm. And the law is broken. It's still a law from like 50 years ago that's being used nowadays. And you can't do that. So I think it's not going to be fixed anytime soon because law does not get changed that quickly. And it will hurt people quite a lot because we do. Maybe we've never been allowed to do it, but because this hasn't been a big issue for a while, it's not been caught up on, but we do a jukebox on our stream where you can pay 50 bits or 50 cents or 50p, whatever it ends up being, and you get to ask us to queue up a song on Spotify or play on the stream, and if we like it, we'll talk about it, or otherwise it'll just play, and it's really nice. It's a good thing for the community. We really enjoy it. It's lovely hearing people's songs, and it's a nice community thing. And now we can't do that. Should we ever have been allowed to do that from the start? That's not something that I am comfortable commenting on because I just don't know because the rules have never been clear. And Twitch has had issues with that previously of the rules not being clear but then punishing people regardless.
It's also... So you said that you can understand it because of the law. The point to me is that nobody wins from this. I've seen so many comments from so many people saying that they've discovered so many bands and so many artists through watching streamers because, you know, you look at bloody Tfue who gets 16,000 viewers, whatever, and he's playing music and those people are listening to this these songs that they may otherwise have never heard. I know that our community, even, you know, as small as it is, has introduced so many people to new bands and artists that they never would have heard before. So ultimately, the only people that lose from this isn't the labels, the ones who hoard the money from the people that are signed to them anyway. It's the artists themselves, because to them, they make their money from gigs and stuff like that, and follows and that sort of thing. But they've just lost a huge way of having free advertising, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah.
So I've seen them sort of complaining about this as well.
I'd like to hear from people who are an artist who has had a big pop off or anything from somebody listening to it on stream or in a YouTube video or something like that. The reason why I say I understand it is because that law exists. It's an antiquated law, but it does exist, and I completely understand why Twitch have done this. They need to cover their own backs, which is fine. I think Twitch has, for some reason, been immune to it so far. And whether that's right, whether that's wrong, is another discussion. But I don't know if... I think if you go down that road, it then becomes... When does it change from those 20,000 people that are listening to it? Is it worth it for those, for 100 people even, on the upper scale of things, to go and listen to that song? Maybe it is, and that's why I'd like to hear from people. But otherwise... Would those bands be undiscovered, or is somebody actually just using your music to gather an audience and keep an audience because then they go along with that music? I don't know, and I think it gets down the slippery slope of paying for things via exposure, where it's, well, look, I'm showing it off to 20,000 people. Like, you should be grateful for that. I'd like to hear from somebody in that position if they are actually grateful for that, or if they're happy with this system now being introduced and being and these clips being hit more stringently.
No, you're right. I'm coming at this from a very biased side, the side of the content creator, so that is very fair. So yeah, I too would agree with you that I'd like to hear the thoughts of people who actually made this music. I presented my opinion as my instincts, but you're right, because I have much less context to it than actually someone who's in a band. What I do know is that the people in our community who are in small bands have wanted nothing more than for us to play their music on stream.
Yes, yeah,
you
yeah.
know? So, but that's just, you know, anecdotal evidence, so...
Yeah, I'd love if somebody could reply, way. Like, saying what their opinions are. Or tweet us, because this is just obviously going out on Spotify and whatever. Tweet us, reply to the tweet that we put out with this on @subparpernhd, and just say, hey, I've made music, and actually, I don't like this, or actually, I do like this. And just let us know why, because I'd really, really like to hear people's opinions on it. And if you're a streamer, what do you think about it? If you're a YouTuber, do you think that Twitch should have caught up long ago to YouTube's rules?
Either way, I think one thing that's clear is that it is time for us to adapt our content and probably delete everything because we probably have to.
The history. But my worry is, the history. What if it gets reversed and then we've deleted everything?
That's what everyone's got to do, mate. Fresh start, clean slate, you know? Maybe it's time. 2020, the year everything was... The year everything changed.
Let's rename this 2020 to zero. Let's start again.
I have said that what we could just do is make 2021 2020 and say that 2020 just never happened. We'll just write it off. It's 2020 take two.
Yeah.
Is what 2021 is going to be. If someone sort of pushed that, you know, it's a sort of dumb thing. If any year is going to be rewritten,
yeah,
this is the year.
I did see a really funny post on r/showerthoughts, whatever it was, where somebody said, we could, if everybody agreed, we could be living in the year 3000. Like, we have that power. We could just say, yep, 3000. All right, go.
Let's just do that then after this point. Year is over.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Subpar Podyssey. There's a lot going on right now in the world. We're looking out for you. Look out for yourselves. Educate, learn, and listen, because your point of view is incredibly important. And act on what you think is right and what you think is wrong. Thank you, team. Hope you have a great day. And we will see you on episode 44.